The Bible tells us that a man named Joseph of Arimathea came and he took the body of Jesus and he laid it in a grave. And when that body was laid in the grave, a Roman guard was procured to guard the tomb. A seal was set on the stone to keep the body from being stolen. And that's where many people would leave the body of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is watch any documentary on the History Channel or on public television, and you'll see people who will doubt the resurrection, and they'll come up with every way to explain it away. But what they want more than anything else is to leave the body of Jesus Christ in that grave. Because they know that if He rose from the dead, as He said, that it has a big impact. It changes things. I read a chilling article in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago. Thomas Jefferson, one of our first presidents, created a Bible of his own. The Wall Street Journal article called it Thomas Jefferson's cut-and-paste Bible. What Jefferson did was he took the New Testament and he liked Jesus as a good teacher. He liked Jesus as a good moral man. But he took all the supernatural and he took a razor and he cut it out. And his cut-and-paste Bible was 86 pages long. And the story, the article says this. His story concludes with this hybrid verse. There they laid Jesus and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. No mention of the miraculous events of His birth. No mention in that gospel of the angels. No mention of the miracles of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, there might be someone here today who would say, well, I would never take a Bible and physically cut it up like that. But if you look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a myth, if you look at it as an event that really did not happen, you might as well take the Bible and cut it up. Thomas Jefferson did not believe that. Myth or real? Look, if you will, in Matthew 27, starting in verse 57. Matthew 27, verse 57. And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, that is, secure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, that's the soldiers, and they became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Would you open your heart and your mind to God today? If there is any doubt in your mind as to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, would you open your heart and your mind to God today and say, God, if it's true, show me. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in desperate need of your help. These here need your help as well. I ask that you would glorify your Son today. Lord, that you would show us the infallible proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I call on your name, the name above every name. You are our risen Lord. I call on you now and I ask that you would move in this service. Lord, if there's one here who does not believe in your death, burial, and resurrection, I ask that you would draw them to yourself today and that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, I can't do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, is what we read there in Matthew 27 truth or fiction? Is it real or is it a myth? Understand, there's no middle ground. Either it's true or it's not. Either Jesus Christ was laid in that tomb and His bones are somewhere on this earth now, or either He was raised by the power of God and He is in heaven alive, as the Bible tells us. It's either true or it's not. One commentator said that the resurrection of Jesus is one of the most wicked, vicious, heartless hoaxes ever foisted upon the minds of men, or it is the most fantastic fact of history. I choose to believe it's the most fantastic fact of history. Don't miss the fact of the importance of the resurrection to the Christian faith. Don't miss how important it is. Paul talked about this himself. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says that the resurrection is of first importance, of the utmost priority. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." First of all means of first importance. This is the most important thing, he says, that which I received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And what Paul is saying here is, he's saying this is the most important thing. This is the linchpin of Christianity. This is the linchpin of our faith. And as we go along here, we'll see that as we progress here in 1 Corinthians 15. So here's the question. What if it isn't true? What if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true? Now that seems like a very bold statement for a pastor to ask from a pulpit. But you know what? Paul asked a similar question. He made a similar statement. Look, if you will, at verse 14 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Paul says, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain." If Christ is not risen, what I'm doing right here is useless. If Christ is not risen, then your faith, which many of you have lived in all these years, is useless. Let's look at it here. If Christ is not risen, first of all, we see the gospel is not good news. That's the meaning of the word gospel. It means good news. If Jesus Christ is not risen, the gospel is not good news. The essence of the gospel, the good news to salvation, is that a Savior died and that He was raised from the dead and that He lives. There's no good news of eternal life because it's by the resurrection of Jesus that we have hope of eternal life. Jesus said in John 14, He says, "I'm going to go away," He says, "but I'm going to come again." He can't come again if He's not alive. If somebody were to tell you, "I'm going to come and I'm going to get you and I'm going to take you somewhere," and in the meantime they die and they can't come get you, that since they're not alive, then it's no good, is it? I have a friend. He called me a few weeks ago. And he said, "I have tickets to the Georgia Tech baseball game at Turner Field in Atlanta on Tuesday. Would you like to go?" That's a few days from now. I said, "Yeah, I'd love to go." What would happen if in the meantime, he says, "I'm going to come get you and I'm going to take you to this game." What would happen if in the meantime, something happened to where he died? The game would be off as far as we're concerned, would it not? If Jesus said, "I will come again," and He died, but He stayed dead, that promise would be void. the gospel would not be good news. There would be no hope of eternal life. Our hope for the return of Jesus and our hope for being in heaven with Him depends on His resurrection. It depends on His return to heaven. The cross and the empty tomb stand at the center of our faith. Understand, you could have the cross without the resurrection, and it would still be vain. It's the cross and the resurrection together that make it work. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us the eternal life. So, if Christ is not risen, the gospel is not good news. If Christ is not risen, we are still in our sins. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Now this would be talking to us as believers, because we've looked to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We've looked to Him for our justification. We are trusting that He has forgiven us, that He has made us fit for heaven by His blood, by His work. But you know what? If He's not raised from the dead, Paul says we are still in our sins. Romans 4:25 tells us that He was delivered for our offenses. That is our sins. And He was raised so that we could have forgiveness. If we're still in our sins, listen. If we're still in our sins, the payment and the penalty for those sins still has to be paid. The Bible is clear as to what the payment and the penalty of that sin is. Romans 3:23, you've heard it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I doubt there's anyone here who would say, I have not sinned, I have not done wrong. Well, the Bible is very clear in Romans 6 what the penalty of that sin is. It says the wages or the penalty of sin is death. And we're not talking just about physical death. The Bible uses death to talk about a spiritual death. It's eternal separation from God in that awful place called hell. And if the payment of our sin was not paid by Jesus, if we are still in our sins, then you, believer, the one who looks at Jesus Christ, if He's not raised from the dead, the payment still has to be enacted, and you face an eternity in hell. A belief in the resurrection, we're told in Romans chapter 10, is necessary for salvation. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you will believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Thou shalt be saved. If Jesus is not raised, then we're still in our sins. If Jesus is not raised, the gospel is not good news. And if Jesus is not raised, He's a liar. And those who proclaim the resurrection are false witnesses. Look at verse 15. Yea, He's talking about the resurrection here. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if it so be that the dead rise not. That is a shocking statement for a preacher to make from the pulpit. But it's true. If Jesus isn't raised, if He is not risen, He's a liar. Because you can look all throughout the Gospels, time after time after time, Jesus says, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of men. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be crucified. My life will be taken, and 3 days later, I will rise again. 3 days later, I will rise again. At least 5 different times in all 4 Gospels, I found this. Jesus says, I will rise again. I will rise again. I will rise again. And if He didn't, He's a liar. And He can't be trusted. And the Bible can't be trusted. If Christ is not raised, the gospel is not good news. We're still in our sins, facing the penalty of those sins. Jesus is a liar and believers are false witnesses. This brings up another question. What if it is true? What if it is true that Jesus was raised from the dead? Well, if Christ is risen, first of all, He is who He said He is, and we should listen to Him. He said, I am God. He said, I die for your sins. The Bible proclaims it time and time and time and time again. He is the Son of God. And if He is God, we need to listen to Him. Listen, if Jesus said in John chapter 14 that I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, He's God, He meant it, and that's what it means, and we need to believe it. It's either true or it's not. If it's true, He is God. And we need to listen. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means there's no way to God through Buddha. There's no way to God through Muhammad. There's no way to God through Confucius. There's no way to God from inside yourself. It is by Jesus Christ alone. If Christ is risen, He is who He says He is. We need to listen to what He says. If Christ is risen, I like this one, death loses its dreadful sting. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians 15:54, right at the end of it. Right at the end of verse 54. It says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Those words are there because Jesus Christ Himself conquered death. I've got a question for you. Is there anyone here who dreads dying? I pause there to let that question sink in. Do you fear death? What's after it? What happens when I die? I don't know if I'm ready to face death yet. Do you fear dying? D.L. Moody, when he was a young preacher, absolutely loved this. He was a young preacher, and he was called upon to preach a sermon at a funeral. He'd never done this before. So he said, I'm going to go to the New Testament, and I'm going to look at the funeral sermons of Jesus. Yeah, that's the best thing to look at, to follow his pattern. So he searched all through the New Testament. He searched all through the Gospels. You know what he found out? Jesus never preached a funeral sermon. Every funeral he ever attended, he broke up. Let me tell you, if Jesus Christ is risen, there's going to be a day where He will raise everyone who has put their faith and their trust in Him. The resurrections that He did on earth won't compare to the mass millions of those who trusted Christ. When the trump sounds, the voice of the archangel shouts out through heaven, and the dead in Christ are raised. But you know what? The dead in Christ can't be raised. He cannot raise them Himself if He is not alive. And if He is alive, death loses its sting. Death loses its fearful grip. If Christ is alive, He is who He says He is. We need to listen. If He's alive, death loses its dreadful sting. If He's alive, we have victory. Romans 6:4 tells us that the power that was used to raise Christ from the dead is available to us right now to live a holy life. 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that we always triumph in Jesus Christ because He always triumphs. We are positioned with Him right now in the heavenlies if you have been raised with Him. In other words, if you have put your faith and your trust in Him. And finally, if Christ is risen, we have help. This life that you live, this road that you walk, with all of its heartache, with all of its agony, you never face it alone. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 28:19, He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. You know what? He couldn't be with me always if He was dead. But He promised, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. There are many other promises that deal with that as well. If Jesus Christ is alive, He's there to help us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But He's also there, we're told, in heaven, advocating on our behalf. 2 John 2:1 tells us, if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father. That is a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And Satan can sit there all day long, a believer, and he can point his finger at you. He can accuse you all he wants, but Jesus Christ stands because He's alive at the throne of the Father with His hands outspread saying, I paid the price. I paid the price. But it's not possible if He's dead. If He's risen, we have help. So this brings us to the final question. Probably the biggest of all. Is Jesus Christ risen? See, someone once said that the empty tomb in and of itself proves nothing. The question is, why is it empty? Is it empty because the body was stolen? Or is it empty because the person who was in it was raised from the dead? Is Christ risen from the dead? Well, you know what? The Bible says that He's risen from the dead. Four gospel accounts confirm this. We read one earlier. Part of one was read when the choir was singing. Four gospel accounts can confirm this. And listen, the men who wrote those gospels, all of them either saw Jesus Christ personally or they knew someone who had seen Jesus Christ personally. They wrote what they had experienced. The Bible says so. And you know what? I could close it right now and that would be enough. But Paul himself goes into the fact that there are some other things other than the Bible itself that confirms the death or that confirms the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that it happened, that's enough, but there's more if you need it. Is Christ raised from the dead? Well, you know what? The witnesses say so. 1 Corinthians 15, look at it. Starting in verse 5. This is talking about immediately after Jesus was raised. 1 Corinthians 15, 5. And He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Cephas is Peter. And after that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, that's the brother of Jesus, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul himself saw the risen Savior. If you were to have a trial and put the witnesses up to the resurrection, you would find them to be unimpeachable. As I was studying for this, I read noted legal scholar after noted legal scholar after noted legal scholar who talked about the unimpeachable evidence for the resurrection from Scripture, from the events of history. You could line the witnesses up. Well, okay, let's talk about these witnesses. This one isn't mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 15, but do you know who the very first witnesses of the resurrection were? The soldiers at the tomb. Now, they didn't see Jesus after He was raised from the dead, but all they knew was, here they were, part of Rome's finest, the fiercest soldiers on the face of the earth, and they saw something that scared them senseless. Knocked them on their backside. And they don't know exactly what happened, but they know that when they woke up, that body was gone. These were men who would not run. These were men who were not afraid. The soldiers were the first witnesses. We're told in the Bible that they went to the Jewish leaders and told them what happened. And the Jewish leaders got scared to death too because they knew that Jesus was raised from the dead. See, they had done everything in their power to prevent a theft. They had sealed the tomb. They had put a guard there. Everything they could to prevent the body from being stolen. Everything in human power to prevent a theft. But you know what? Nothing could be done to prevent a resurrection. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it. And they were the first witnesses when it came to the resurrection. Who were the next witnesses? The ladies who came to the tomb. Very significant. During those times and in that culture, things were a little different with the way women were treated than it is now. I've read accounts where they weren't even eligible to give evidence in court. They were looked down upon. And who was it that Jesus chose to reveal Himself to first of all? To women. I think Jesus was right there at the beginning. I think at the beginning He was showing that things were going to be a little different with Christianity. That women would be elevated and respected and loved and treasured and cared for, not treated as property. But the first people that Jesus revealed Himself to were the women. They came to the tomb. They saw the empty tomb. But then Mary, as she was walking around the garden, she personally saw the Lord Jesus. And then she went on and she told others. She told the disciples about it. Who's the next witness? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that it's Peter. It's not recorded anywhere else, but Paul knew Peter, and Peter told Paul that at some point on resurrection morn, Jesus went and he singled Peter out. And he showed himself to him. It's almost like he was saying, Peter, look, I know you denied me, but I love you. He sought Peter out. He wanted to restore Peter. Who's the next witness? The two on the road to Emmaus. The Bible tells us that that very resurrection day that there were two people, and that as they were walking down the road, someone joined themselves to them. They didn't recognize who it was. They were supernaturally kept from recognizing it was Jesus. And they walked and they talked and they said, hey, our friend Jesus, he was in the grave and now the body's missing. We don't know what to make of it. And Jesus began to take the Bible, began to take the Scriptures, and he showed from the Old Testament how it was to be that he would die and rise from the dead. And eventually their eyes were opened, and they realized it was Jesus. And they went back to the apostles, to the disciples, and they said, we've seen Jesus. So you have the soldiers, you have the ladies, you have Peter, you have the two on the road to Emmaus, you have the 11. 11 men who all, with the exception of one, died because of their belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John lived to a ripe old age. But history tells us, tradition tells us, that every single one of them died for their faith in Christ. Don't you think that if one of them, that out of that huge a group, if it wasn't true that one of them would have recanted with the sword over his head. Out of 10 people, recant. Jesus is not alive. He's not. He is not God. I will not. I've seen Him. I know He's alive. I know He's raised from the dead. I know He died for me. No, I won't reject Him. No, I won't do it. 10 men, all standing firm to the very end. Who's the next set of witnesses? 500. We're told right here in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus was seen of 500 people. Brother Ronnie Heelan is likely right now preaching over at Calvary. I don't know how big they are right now. Let's say they're 200, 300 folks. And let's say we were to receive a report that Brother Ronnie had fallen seriously ill and that he had passed away while he was preaching. But you had all the people, all 200 or 300, come and tell you, I personally just talked with Brother Ronnie. That's not true. He's alive. Would you believe 200 people? Would you believe 300 people? How about 400 people? How about 500 people? The evidence mounts and mounts and mounts and mounts. And then finally, the last witness is the Apostle Paul himself. He says, I saw Jesus. It was on that road to Damascus, but he saw the resurrected Lord. And here is a man who had done everything in his power to stamp Christianity out, everything in his power to put the name of Jesus down, everything in his power to kill anyone who would even breathe the name of Jesus. And he sees him. And the next thing you know, he's preaching all over the world about Jesus. And it came time for Paul's death. And he said, I've seen Jesus. He's alive. He's risen, as he said. And finally, if Jesus is risen from the dead, or is Jesus risen from the dead? Well, the believers who are here know so. They know He's risen. See, many have sought to disprove the resurrection. Book after book after book, listen, was started to disprove the resurrection and became a book in support of the resurrection. I have on my desk a book written by Josh McDowell, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And I read in the foreword this morning where he said, I set out to write a book that would mock Christianity and make it the laughingstock of the world. And now he professes, every believer in here knows that Jesus Christ is risen, from the one with the lowest education level of their believer all the way up to our PhD from Europe who was an atheist. All have been convinced that Jesus Christ is alive, as He said. It's either true or it isn't. Those who are here who have believed, they know the forgiveness that Jesus bestowed on them. They know the help that He gives them. They know the home that He's prepared for them in heaven. If you're born again, listen, today is the day to rejoice in all that Jesus has done for us, to rejoice in every aspect of the resurrection. We are not in our sins. We have help. We have power. We're not left alone here on this earth. But if you're here today and you've never trusted the risen Savior for your salvation, then there's a big question that faces you. Listen, if we're wrong about the resurrection, we're simply deceived. If you're wrong about the resurrection, it means eternal punishment. Because the Bible says a belief in the resurrection is necessary to be saved. We quoted it before, Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If we're wrong, we're deceived. If you're wrong, it's eternal punishment. Eternal punishment because sin has to be punished. God is a God of love. People say it all the time. It's absolutely true, but He's also a God of justice. And justice was poured out on Jesus on the cross. Judgment was poured out on Him on the cross. But when it was poured out on Him on the cross, He says, I take it, and I'm going to offer you eternal life. And I can offer you eternal life because I'm going to rise from the dead. And He did rise from the dead, and He stands today offering eternal life to anyone who will believe. But that's the key word, to anyone who will believe. You've heard the most glorious truth of the faith today. He is God in the flesh. He did die. He was raised again. Will you believe this truth? Will you turn to Jesus for salvation? Listen, friends, He is risen, as He said, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice today and you've wondered about the resurrection of Jesus, but you have this deep sense of conviction that what you've heard here today is true, you know what? That's God talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit. He was sent by Jesus to give witness of the resurrection Himself. That deep sense of conviction is God's way of confirming the truth of His Word to you. Jesus did die. He died for my sin. He died for yours. He did rise from the dead so that I could have eternal life, so that you could have eternal life. It's called salvation. It's called being saved, but salvation from our sin that separates us from God is not something that we earn on our own. It was paid for in full by Jesus Christ. They are gifts. For it is a gift that has to be accepted. How do you accept? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Listen, maybe you've treated the resurrection as a myth. Maybe you've treated it as a fairy tale, but God has convinced you today that Jesus Christ is risen. You can get it settled today. You can get to the point to where death loses its fearful grip in your life. We'll have someone up front. We can take a Bible and we can show you how you can know that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady work with you. If you're a man, we'll have a man work with you. Not to embarrass you in any way, but today is the day to get it settled. Today is the day to put your trust in the risen Savior. If He is risen, He is God, and we must do what He said. Trust Him. Trust the risen Jesus. And then you can thank Him for saving you. As you stand to your feet, Father, I thank You for the testimony of Your Word. I thank You that the Lord Jesus is risen. Lord, I ask that that person who's here today that You're dealing with, that they would trust You. Lord, I ask that You would clear the air now. All the lies of our enemy would come in, and he would seek to keep someone from placing their trust in You. Lord, I ask that You would put that to the side. Lord Jesus, You are all-powerful. I ask that You would do that, and that You would give freedom to respond here. Help us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.